Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm a curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. I'm delighted that you can join us for the Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The prayer of preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The summary of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. We now have the collect, followed by the readings. And after that we will have the creed.
Collect for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts, and draw us to yourself, and so bring us at last to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
This reading is from Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. David's Prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading is taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now we have the sermon.
Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. It's my privilege to speak to you this morning about giving money to the church. This is not just another appeal on behalf of an anxious church council. This is a sermon about financial giving as part of Christian discipleship, and about how that giving can be acceptable to God. This shouldn't be a painful or embarrassing subject. As Jesus told his disciples, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as Paul told the church in Corinth, God loves a cheerful giver. So we seek God's blessing as we review our giving in good spirits, even in times of financial hardship. I'd like to speak about some of the motives we might have in giving to the church. I suspect, actually, that God may care as much about why we give as about the amount. Some giving will delight him, whilst other giving may actually cause him disquiet. I begin with some motives for giving that he probably doesn't welcome much at all. I don't think God much likes giving that is compulsory. For many years, from biblical times until quite recently, the church was supported by a kind of tax called the tithe. The rate was 10% and it applied to most forms of income. It was enforced by the crown or government and supported some forms of social as well as religious spending. In this country, it supported the Church of England, and for that reason was resented by the Catholics and the nonconformists, who had, of course, to pay for their own clergy as well as those of the C of E. And in Ireland, it led to rebellion and bloodshed. I don't imagine that God much likes giving that is competitive or ostentatious. Giving that is really a kind of showing off. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this: when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to be honoured by others. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus was talking about charity to help the poor, but similar conditions must surely apply to giving to the church as well. Similar judgment might also be applied to the building of temples or cathedrals to honour one tribe or city at the expense of the rest. we may admire the splendour of these magnificent monuments to the piety of previous generations. But we should ask at whose expense they were built and the motives of those who raised the treasure to pay for them. One notorious example of giving with the wrong motive was the collection in the 16th century of payments called indulgences. They were to help for the building of St. Peter's Church in Rome. Church members were encouraged to give money to the church, which it was claimed would help to buy the way to heaven for themselves or for their family and friends. This can have pleased God at all. So giving to the church doesn't really need a motive at all. It's just a custom, a habit formed over years of church membership. When I was a boy, we thought the church bells said, "Oh, come to church and don't be late. Oh, come to church and don't be late, and put your pennies in the plate." Visitors coming to church occasionally for a christening or a funeral are expected to put a note or a few coins in the collection plate at the end of the service, and many churches now have a machine for your card to help if you've not brought the cash with you. Some people may think if they're giving to the church as rather like payment for attending a performance. So they would give rather more if they liked the music group or the choir. Their motivation then may be artistic rather than religious. Others may see themselves as members of a social community and feel an obligation to contribute to the common funds. And of course, their gifts are very welcome. But we might ask whether they're really being seen as giving to God at all. What God loves best is surely generous giving that comes from the heart and the soul. And that is illustrated by our two readings today. The first reading was King David's prayer at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. The people of Israel had collected a fantastic quantity of treasure, of gold and silver and precious stones, and they presented it to God with a prayer of thanksgiving for God's generosity to them. It went like this: "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendour. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from you." However much we may give to God, we're only giving back to him a small token of what he has already given to us. If we acknowledge that, our motive for giving will be gratitude for the gifts we have received, and that motive will surely be welcome to God. Another motive for giving to the church is illustrated in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. In giving to the church, we share with one another. Our desire is not that others may be relieved while you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality. Paul is asking his followers in Corinth to contribute to the needs of their fellow Christians in Jerusalem. And surely God loves us to share like that. Sharing could, of course, go a lot further than just one collection. We can read in the book of Acts of the Apostles how in the first days of the church, the members held all things in common. They didn't think of anything as their exclusive possession. All their wealth belonged to them all. It was like one big family or one community of monks and nuns. We may not be called to form a community quite like that, but we do have the satisfaction of knowing that we are contributing to the common good. When we give to St. Margaret's Church, we're contributing to a common fund of Southwark Diocese, and it's from that fund that the clergy receive their stipends, as well as their housing and their pension costs. And it's surely good to know that we, in a relatively wealthy part of the diocese, can help parishes where our fellow Christians live in relative poverty. So, if we give with thanksgiving and generosity, we will be able to give with good cheer. But we also give, of course, because the church needs the money. It's only if church members contribute financially that the church can flourish. The diocese needs the parishes to pay their share if there are to be clergy serving in the parishes. And we here need sufficient income to keep the church warm and to meet all the local expenses. I said, this is a sermon, not an appeal. But it would be irresponsible for me to conclude this talk without any mention at all of St. Margaret's own financial position. We are currently running a quite large deficit, current expenditure seriously in excess of current income. This means we are running down our reserves and living, in that sense, at the expense of future church members. This is something we should keep in mind as we ask ourselves how much we should be giving to the church, and hence giving to God. In summary then, we should give without feeling obliged to, and we should not seek our own glory in giving. We should give in gratitude for all that God has given to us, and we should give so as to share our good fortune with other members of the church. But how much should we give? That's a question we each face in the privacy of our own hearts. I can only make two points by way of guidance. The first is that all church members should give something. It's a mark of discipleship, a token of allegiance. It shows that we regard ourselves as belonging to the church and then as belonging to God. Even a small amount can speak that message very loudly, if only in our own hearts. The other point of guidance is suggested by our reading today. We should give as much as we can give cheerfully. We're not being asked to make ourselves miserable. We should not give too little, and we should not give too much. It's a question of priority. We may be surprised to discover that we can happily give much more than we thought we could afford. So let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for your abundant gifts to us. Everything that we have comes from you. And Lord, may we be generous too. As we have freely received, so may we freely give. May we give thoughtfully, according to the resources that we have, and may we give cheerfully, knowing that you especially rejoice with those who give with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who with great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul says. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John said. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you. And you respond, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. You might take a moment now to get some bread and some wine so that you can take this in a spiritual fashion. We know we can't take it physically together, but we can join together spiritually. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through thy tender mercy, didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. Deborah, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy body by thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is also the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. And we join together in worshipping God in the words of the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory, O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.